Elite sport for kids, pros and cons, my synchronized swimming experience. Hello everyone, welcome to Signpost for Living with Dr. Kirsten Hunter, and we have gorgeous Sally Johnston here. Hello, gorgeous.
Hello, how are you?
Very, very good. Now, I have been wanting Sally to come along for a long time. How long ago did I ask you?
It was quite a while back.
Maybe a year ago?
It could have been, yeah.
And you're here?
Yes.
So exciting. Now, Sally and I know each other through many, many areas of the community, but one area that's always, like, confused me wonderfully about you is your background with synchronized swimming. Right?
Yes, not so normal, shall we say.
So we'll dive into that. But I'm really curious to hear about synchronized swimming, and I'm really eager to jump into it with regard to your history, how you got into it, how far you went with that as an elite sport, and when you got into it, and you know, what the pros were and what were the cons with regard to this whole childhood experience, which was not the typical childhood experience. And there's a lot of elite sports kids.
A lot, and probably a lot more even these days. Things are happening earlier and earlier for kids, I think.
Why do you say that? I'm sure you're right.
Well, I even look at, you know, elite athletes now, people on the Olympic stage, and they're even younger than what we were when we were doing it. So it seems like there's more and more pressure on the kids,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like looking for kids
on
with the potential and starting them really early in all these sports.
And especially as we've got the Olympics coming up again soon, you know, that's already coming out amongst kids. I've noticed that, oh, are you ready for the Olympics coming up?
Yeah, when is it, 10 years away or something?
Yeah, well, now you need to trust me. I'm not good with numbers at all.
I actually don't know when it's coming.
Yeah, I can't, and I'm going to sound terrible because I don't either, but yeah.
Someone said 10 years the other day. Sounds
yeah,
okay.
That sounds about right because they are kind of targeting those kids about 10 now.
Yeah, there you go. So it's a fascinating thing, isn't it? Here are these children who are growing up with their motor skills, they're growing up with their social skills, educational, you know, social skills, and then there becomes this particular focus with regard to their sporting skills. And what's great about that, but also does it create an imbalance?
Yeah.
And that's a fascinating question for me.
Yep.
And can I say, I've actually had quite a few Commonwealth sports people as clients. I've had people who represent Australia, and I've had one Olympian as a client. And now that is not a representative sample because they're seeking a psychologist. So you know, they're obviously good on them for being proactive and getting help. But what I saw on an adult level was stepping away from the sport and then floundering and really finding it hard to get a sense of their identity and to have normal life balance, and they haven't had as much social integration, you know. So, you know, I've actually probably come to this topic from the dark side.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Mm. It's interesting because there is that I do see the two sides, but there is and I think swimming is a sport particularly that's been in the public eye with what happens to the swimmers once they've, you know, once they've finished, what do they do next?
What sort of patterns have you seen there with swimming?
Again, a lot of depression. There's been lots of anxiety. There's been a lot of, working out who I am without the sport because it's been your entire life. And what do you do now, basically? It's almost like they didn't – well, and this isn't actually my experience, but I've seen a lot that have had that experience where they haven't had the chance to figure out who they are along the way as what children who possibly – do not have that one single vision, that's been such a driving force for them that they haven't had any perspective, they haven't seen what else in life there is.
And it's really interesting, isn't it, because we bring up children to learn you do not equal your achievements.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny because we say that, but then we say that to them, but then what we actually do Is that what we're actually telling them? Our actions probably say something different to what our words are. I agree with
you. When we get the big applause, when we really get that prizing response.
If you get an A at school, it's like even at school it's the same, you know. Kids are put on a pedestal when they do well at something in one way or another.
Well, often. Can I say that I've never given my children a report card?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've ever told you that.
We do a similar thing.
Yeah. So I swim against that tide. But no, it's a real issue. Mm. Okay. Now, my understanding of synchronized swimming is minimal. I'll just be straight up.
That's pretty normal.
No. But I've always looked at it and I've always thought that's not human.
Mm.
Right? Holding your breath.
Mm-hmm.
being able to look graceful and not drown. And to do that whilst synchronized with other swimmers, I've always looked at it and gone, that's pretty epic and incredible and just wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
I find you get two thoughts. You either have the people who do recognize that and then the people think, well, that's just what is that? That's not really a sport too.
Really?
Yeah. We've always got a lot of that's not a real sport.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrendous. I'd love to see them get in and do it.
Yeah. Well, again, that's when people don't have perspective of what is actually happening in and under the water when you are doing what you're doing and the training that goes into it.
Man, I can't even scuba dive and look elegant in a photo. And that's me immersed in water without having to breathe.
Yeah.
From the air. So... I guess
it's probably the show part of it that confuses people sometimes because, well, your job as a synchronized swimmer is to make it look easy.
You're shooting yourself in the foot there, aren't you?
Yeah.
What do you mean the show of it?
Well, the presentation side. Well, it's the same as gymnastics, but if you talk to a swimmer, they're not doing any kind of performance, I guess. Right. The artistic side of it is what I guess the sporting world sometimes doesn't equate to, well, they don't value the artistic side of it.
Well, I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
Truly. Okay, so what is synchronized swimming?
I always say it's probably like gymnastics in the water. That's probably the best description, realistically. They used to say ballet in the water, but I think it's more like gymnastics in the water when you talk about it.
Why is it more like gymnastics than ballet?
Probably because, I think probably more because of the body formations and the strength. Oh, well, so much strength in ballet, so that's wrong too. But probably because there's more emphasis on strength and conditioning than there is on the artistic, whereas in ballet there's probably more emphasis on the artistic side of it than there is the sporting
side.
That's
interesting. I actually thought there was as much on the artistic because that's what the ignorant observer like me sees.
No, it's extremely technical.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And often the technical side is not actually the great side to see. So if you were to see a show that had synchronized swimming in it, it would probably not be a very high level routine that they'd be doing. But if you were to look at the Olympics or any of the kind of big high level competitions, Pan Pacs or anything, that is when it may not be as exciting to watch. Because it's more about the technical side of it as well.
Well, so there's those two fields.
And there's also, so you do the artistic side, but then there's also a technical side that's never shown on TV as well, where you go through what they call figures and you're judged on certain specific movements within the water one by one as well. That's never, unless you're in synchronized swimming, you wouldn't know that even happens.
You don't have that eye for that detail.
No.
Whole world. Wow. Now, it's okay if you don't know the answer, but where did this come from? What's the sport of synchronized swimming?
Well, they always go back to the movies. Now I'm going to forget the movie star's name who used to do it in the movies way back when, and I'm going to forget.
I'm thinking
Esther Williams or someone.
Esther sounds like a great name back there, doesn't it? it was when they had those really cool
cool caps and
the cool caps and the
fantastic swimwear. Yeah,
kind of went straight across.
Yeah, the low cut kind of, and they used to do some performing in films and things. I don't know what came first, to be honest, and I don't know the answer. I do know that it is a lot more popular in other countries than it is in Australia.
Is it?
Very, you know, it's like not a lot of people know about it in Australia, but in other countries, men do synchronized swimming as well. Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, and they could possibly now. I haven't been involved enough now to know whether they do here in Australia as well, but I'm sure there would be some male involvement now. But there were quite a lot of male involvement in other countries. And it is massive in some of the other countries, the European countries, and even in the US, it's quite big. And in Japan, it's massive too. Yeah,
you're in the wrong country.
Yeah, definitely.
What were you doing in Australia?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that is fascinating. Mm. And what sort of competitions are available for synchronized swimming?
Well, we used to have – so we'd have our local competitions, which we would do Well, for Toowoomba, we had to travel a lot. So it was either in the Gold Coast and the Sunshine Coast in Brisbane. So all throughout for southeast Queensland, we had to. And then we'd have state titles and then national titles. And then we'd go overseas then after that as well. So for
June. So it was more kind of regional, state, national.
Yeah.
And how far did you go?
So I did go to Junior Worlds in Russia, of all places.
There you go.
So I was in the Australian junior team.
Did you go to Russia?
Yes.
You went to Russia for synchronized swimming?
As a 15-year-old, yes.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, you were getting a bit old, weren't you?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Well, compared to the Russians, we were very old.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
How old were they?
So they were more – well, we were in age groups still then, but they used to train – so honestly, they're – 12-year-olds were probably at a higher level than what we were because they were trained like you wouldn't believe, like you
militantly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that's a
bit
scary.
You wouldn't want to be trained the way they were trained.
No, so that's clearly a lot of cons happening over there.
Yeah, huge amount. So, and they were picked out differently and it was, which was very eye-opening as a 15-year-old from Australia, seeing how the other countries worked things as well.
So did Russia win?
They didn't at the time. I'm trying to actually. I'm sorry. My memory is so bad with these things. Yeah, no. They. I think that it was. I think Japan was up there.
It's okay. We're reckoning.
Yeah, Italy is. Italy was usually pretty high too. Yeah,
that's extraordinary. That as a 15-year-old, he went internationally to Russia to represent Australia. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
And is synchronized swimming in, the Olympic Games?
Yes. Commonwealth Olympic Games, yes.
There you go.
Yeah, they are Olympic. It is an Olympic sport.
Well, Australia needs to take it more seriously then,
don't they? We had to qualify. I remember when I was going through that we had to qualify to still be in the games because, again, it's not such a high priority sport here in Australia and it doesn't get the fund. It wasn't getting the funding or anything like that. We were still definitely punching above our weight, I would say, at the time.
That's extraordinary. Okay, so let's go back in time. How did you get into synchronized swimming?
Well, my swimming coach started the synchronized swimming here in Toowoomba.
So Toowoomba, everyone, is southeast Queensland. That's all cool. It's like a regional town, city.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
Big now.
And so your swim coach said, hey, let's do this.
Yeah, she was I really loved swimming and I had a bit of a talent for swimming, I guess.
So what age did you start swimming?
So I started from early on. Swimming was always a big thing within my family. Yeah, and my brothers both swam and I swam. And
We're talking, what, 5, 6, 7?
Yeah. I would have started from when I was five or younger probably, even to learn to swim.
Yeah.
Mum started us very early for learn to swim. And then we had my swimming coach only lived two doors away from us as well, and we learnt in her back pool before she moved to one of the schools to swim. So, she encouraged me to join the synchronized swimming when she was starting it up, but she had pretty high standards that you had to be a certain level for swimming and you had to have done a certain amount of learn to swim before she would allow you to do synchro.
So we're getting into the cool terms here. It's called synchro.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with synchro. So how old were you when you joined synchro?
I must have been about 9.
9?
Yeah, because I was in under 10, so I was just thinking,
That's baby.
Yeah.
9. I have a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Like he's hopeless in a gorgeous, endearing way.
Yeah. So, I was, yeah, it's my first, yeah, my first team was under 10. So, yeah, I must have been 8 or 9 when I started. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
Mm. Wow. Okay. So can you give me a sense of what sort of training you did through your years, what the commitment was?
Yeah. Commitment got pretty heavy pretty quickly, to be honest. I was actually one, because we were a smaller club, I was one of the younger ones as well in probably a group of us who were quite strong. I always preface it because we were all strong swimmers before we went into synchro. But in 10s, under 10s, I did still have to travel away to do training for the Queensland team.
So you were in the Queensland team at what age?
Under 10s, it must have been.
Under 10s, Queensland team.
Yes.
Right? Straight into the deep end.
Yeah. By under 12s, we were probably, so I'm just trying to think, we were probably doing 8 sessions a week. And we would also do our swimming training first because we all were swimmers as well. So we would do swimming training first and then do our synchro training after our swimming training. So by the time I hit high school, I was doing probably 10 sessions a week.
10 sessions a week.
Would have been morning and afternoon on most days. And we'd have Wednesdays off and we'd have Sundays off usually. And we'd have some days we'd have training days on Sundays or Saturdays as well if we had to travel away to do team training.
Mm. Wow, that's a lot.
It's funny because I look back now and think, yes, that was a lot. But at the time, I just thought that was normal.
Because it was normal.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And your parents would need to take you to the pool and back and do it.
So we were lucky enough that we lived fairly close to the pool. And my brother used to take me quite a lot to training because he trained as well. So we would walk up together. For the mornings, and then Mum did a lot of driving, you know, around to take us to competitions and take us to training sessions.
What were your parents' framework? What was their rationale for you doing something that was so hardcore, that required so much extensive daily, morning, afternoon, 5 days a week?
They were probably quite unique, I think, sometimes in the sporting world, is that I didn't feel a huge amount of pressure from them. Mm. It was, are you having fun? If you're having fun and you want to do it, we'll help you do it. The only time I always remember is if I would commit to something and then not want to do it, they would say, no, this is your choice, make the choice, but if you commit to it, you got to follow through. So if, you know, I decided halfway through the term that I didn't want to go to training at 5 a.m, they'd be like, no, you're going to training because you said you were going to go.
Which is a great life skill, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think so. To follow through with a commitment.
Yeah. And again, there was, I mean, it cost a lot for us to do these things too. I was a family with 4 children too, and a lot of time. So I was always aware of that, I think. So it was... They were always willing to support and willing to do what I wanted to do. They did want it to be my choice. Whereas I know a lot of other kids had a lot more pressure from their parents. So
the parents might have had this aspiration for the child.
Absolutely. Or if you showed a certain amount of skill in something, they would like push on that. But I didn't actually feel that from my parents. I felt more... we did find some funny diaries not long ago that were in, oh, it was a little while ago now, but they were, because we used to learn a lot about visualization and we used to have to write diaries and we used to, we learn a lot of those kind of different skills. My coach was very good at that kind of thing and she used to ask us to write something after every training. And when I look back at it, I was, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. I'd write, oh, it was freezing cold today. We had to get in and I had to do, and then I got in trouble. So I had to do 50 meters of this and 50. I had to do unders and blah, blah, blah. And every single time I wrote at the end, but it was fun.
Oh, really?
And I always wonder what that sounds terrible, but I always wrote at the end, but it was fun. I'm thinking, we always look back and think, I wonder what was really going through that 10-year-old's mind at the time.
Well, I love hearing about your parents. I love that they were supporting you in your aspiration.
Yeah, and I do think they were. yeah, I mean, there's always a certain amount of pressure you feel, I think, to do well when you're doing well at something. But I didn't feel like I couldn't say, I don't want to do this anymore.
So you didn't feel any kind of obligation?
No, I probably did to my coaches.
Right.
But not to my parents.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Because they would become like a third parent.
And my coach was very driven. And you did want to do the right thing. And I think, too, my experience was probably a little bit different, too, because I was always the youngest in the group.
Yeah.
So I always felt the need to swim up, so which was a great experience for me. I always got, you know, great training because I was always having to train with the older girls.
Mm.
So I was always pushing up locally so that then when I went away and I was with girls my own age.
You were more competitive.
It was quite... Yeah, I didn't find it as difficult because I was used to training with the older girls all the time.
Mm.
But our coach was very, I guess, you know, she wanted us to do well too because that reflected on her.
Did it create this little culture amongst the group where, you know, you wanted to kind of stay with it because you didn't want to lose your group and you didn't want to lose the coach's admiration? And
yeah, probably.
I don't mean to sound sceptical.
No. No, probably. Yeah, I don't know that I... Yeah, probably. It felt very very natural, to be honest. Like, I didn't know what else you would do in the afternoon if you didn't go to swimming training. Like, that's just what we did. We just went from school to training or from training to school.
Yeah.
Each day. So I would... Yeah, because I'd go to training and then I'd usually have breakfast at the pool and then go straight to school. And then I'd stay at school because there wasn't any point coming home, have afternoon tea and then go straight to training kind of thing.
So what if your friends were going to hang out at the mall?
Yeah, it just didn't... Sorry. Wasn't an option. I did actually enjoy other sports as well, and that's where I kind of came into conflict with my coaches, was because they wanted me to only do one sport, whereas I enjoyed... and I was pretty headstrong, so I wanted to do all the sports.
But
and
how I did incredibly do a lot of, important to have a scope of experience,
yeah,
and to try different things and to do things and not be the best on the team and have, yep, fun.
And mum and dad were probably big on that too. It's more than, it's not just about one thing. They were quite good at trying to give us perspective that, yeah, no, if she wants to do netball as well, she can. If she wants to do water polo, she can, you know.
How the hell did you fit that?
Well, that was the problem. That's what ended up, yeah, I did end up getting sick once I was 16, yeah, I did end up getting glandular fever or whatever they want to call it now, but it would have been, yeah, overload, basically. My body got overloaded because I was trying to do too much.
Push.
Yeah. Push all the time.
Wow. Yeah. Now, do you mind me asking, did you have the psychology for elite sport? Because this is fascinating. I would love to have come into that group and looked at each of the individual kids and looked at their level of, you know, internal motivation versus external, their determination, their stubbornness.
Yeah. So
the competitiveness.
Yeah. One of our coach was actually probably very forward with those kinds of things.
Mm.
And I didn't really realise what was happening at the time, but we were getting a lot of training around that. You know, we used to do... we'd have visualization sessions, we would have nutrition sessions, and I guess once we got to the elite level, which I was fairly young when that happened, so we were getting that support. Like, we went to the AIS and you'd get your sessions with the nutritionist, you'd get your sessions with the psychologist.
Australian Institute of Sport, AIS.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Mm. And that would be, and we'd do a lot around goal setting.
Mm.
And things like short-term goals, long-term goals, like we did a lot around that.
You did a lot of sports psychology.
We did, which I didn't really realise what it was at the time. I just thought, okay, here we are doing these sessions. But, yeah, and a lot around nutrition and, yeah, all the things that go with it.
And for you with your personal personality?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, now I think I learnt so much that I didn't realise I was learning, I guess. And now I look back and I think that was because I just thought it was normal.
Because, you know, I know that when they're looking at recruitment for, you know, teenagers into sport, they really look at their headspace and they look at their capacity to tolerate failure, to tolerate things not going well and whether they can keep a calm head and follow through. How much their ego is linked in with what's going on for them versus them being able to really focus on the game.
Yeah.
Their capacity to deal with stress. their capacity to deal with peer pressure and just general maturity. Because you can have an incredible sports person physically, but if they don't have the head for the game to be able to stay calm and focused and just like really grounded, which not many teenagers have. And, you know, that aptitude is incredible with whether someone has that capacity to push through all those stresses and the staying power, you know, so I guess I'm thinking about that sort of sports psychology.
Yeah, well, that, I didn't even think about that kind of thing, to be honest. It was probably, our level was more like at the, you know, goal setting and visualization and
but if you didn't do well,
stay strong.
Like, how did you cope if you didn't do well, or if there was a bit of a drawback, or there was a bit of a, you know, a bumpy period, or or, you know, somebody else, and you might have felt kind of like threatened or competitive with them. I don't know.
I still think of moments in my life where I was upset about things, and it'll go back and it'll nearly always be based around something that happened at Synchro.
What do you mean?
like my most vivid memories are probably when I did disappoint myself, to be honest. Yeah. Like when I either, I disappointed someone else. Like the things that I remember the most often are the things when I did get it wrong where I thought I wasn't going to get selected in the team, but I did, or I like, there's one that I remember where, this is probably way off track, we were training and I was only, it must have only been under 12, couldn't have been more than under 12s, so I must have only been 10 or 11, and we were doing, we jumped in, it was at the Sunny Coast, we were there for state training, and there was a swimming club doing laps as well, and we jumped in next to them, and the saying was, oh, the synchro girls are here, they don't really know how to swim. And I didn't know, I got in and mucked around in our warm-up, not really realizing what had happened. Mucked around, and I remember my coach saying to me, your mum just told those other people that you were a swimmer, and you would because they were doing laps, and you would definitely beat them in those laps, because I should have, like, that's what I would have if I'd been taking it seriously, but because I mucked around, and mum had said to them, because mum didn't do that kind of thing very often either, but obviously they were having a go at us, but that's like, those are the vivid memories I still have.
You know what you didn't do anything wrong there. You're an 11-year-old enjoying water, and the adults didn't give you the framework of saying, hey, go show that you can kick their ass just to make your mother feel good.
No, and my coach had said, you know, do your warm up properly, but other than that, I still remember thinking, and the coach said to me, you guys made yourselves look silly there, kind of.
And you're like, I'm going to die now.
Yeah. Disappointed mum. Coach. Yeah. Those, I do remember things like that, which is, you know, that's probably not a great thing to remember, and you're hard on it. You do become hard on yourself, I guess, when you do have failures. I don't know.
I guess you kind of learn to have a really high standard.
And I guess I've learned as an adult that is my standard that I put on myself, not other people probably. But as a child, I think you think, oh, I have to do it so that I can impress other, not impress
that's
other
the
people.
Standard.
That's what they expect. That's the expectation. Yeah. It was definitely the expectation that I was going to make the Queensland team, and I was going to make the, state team, and
which
the Australian
you did.
Team. Yeah, which
you did.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was going to do well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I,
And what happened for you to move away from synchro?
I guess, again, I just grew out of it, I guess, a little bit, because there's no pathway as, like, an adult, realistically, in the sport.
What about the Olympics?
Yeah, I could have – so I was in that in-between year. So for me to go to the Olympics, I would have had to do – back in those days, I would have had to do year 11 and 12 over 3 years. So there wasn't the flexibility around study, because I would have had to move to – so – because I would have had to go to Melbourne or Sydney to be with the coaches.
So it was a big step move into the Olympic world.
Yeah. So it was I definitely could have done it, but it would have meant putting everything else on hold. And my parents were always of the opinion that your education comes first, particularly when it's a sport that it's not like a sport you're going to make money out of, realistically, or it's not – I'd never thought of it as a future.
Yeah, it doesn't have a financial career behind it.
No, it's not high profile in, yeah. So that was kind of like, well, that was my decision then. And then when I actually did do a lot of shows and things like that once I finished school. So I actually got paid while I was going through uni to do. Yeah. So even when I was at school, I used to do Dreamworld shows at Dreamworld.
Did you? Yes. Wow. Things like everyone, that. That's Aqua a theme World. Park. It's yeah. like the biggest theme park in Queensland.
Yeah. So I was only in year eight when I did our first show at Dreamworld. So really? We were much older.
Did you swim with dolphins?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
SeaWorld, we did that. And then we used to, so at the Gold Coast at the time, they used to have lots of openings of hotels and things like that. So they'd often employ us to do a show while they had an opening. So then that was a way that we could raise money for our competition costs and expenses. So
after you stepped away from competing, you then continued to engage in it. Employment.
Yeah, so we used to we'd get some ads that we'd sometimes do at
were you in the ads? Oh, but fantastic.
Never ones that were shown here in Australia though. They were always for overseas. It was always an overseas market again. And I went to Japan for a while for 3 months to do it. My brothers always laugh at me, so I was in the circus. So it was like you were a carny in the circus. So it's probably not appropriate to say. It was in a circus basically, but we'd do these tank shows and we'd do them all around the country as well at shows when I was at school sometimes during the holidays.
How wonderfully random.
Yeah, it's really random. Yeah, but it's a sport that led me to different, avenues and different experiences.
So other people working at McDonald's and you're doing shows.
Yes.
Hope you had good costumes.
Oh, of course, the costumes and the changing of the costumes and everything like that. And we were with adults a lot too, which was probably a little bit, like, I don't think a lot of what you probably wouldn't be the same now as what it was then.
What do you mean with adults?
So we were with, like, the dancers and the divers were all much older than us. We were pretty young doing these shows professionals, if you like, they would.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're expected to keep a pretty high standard.
Can I ask you? I've got my brain's going everywhere. Can I just ask you? Did you feel calm in your decision to step away from competitive, or was it a real sense of confusion, or was it a great sense of loss?
This is where, again, I think because of the sport I was in, I probably differ from other people. Is that it did kind of feel like it had run its course.
So you had peace with that?
I did. Sometimes I do look back and think, oh, had it been a different time doing that Olympic, you know, I could have done the Olympics, and that's kind of something cool to be able to say. But when I look at it from a real perspective, my education was more important. Like it was more important for me to get a proper education than it was for me to do sport.
And as you say, you would have had to have, done schooling in a different framework. Yeah. You would have, without your parents' support, you would have had to have moved interstate away from your family.
Yeah.
Could they have afforded that?
Yeah.
The whole lot of it.
Yeah, and it kind of wasn't really an option that was really considered. There was a time where we did look at the doing 11 and 12 over 3 years and whether I could still do it from Toowoomba.
Mm.
But also being in a regional area, it makes it, you know, the logistics are more difficult as well.
Mm.
And it was kind of just, and I was the only one here. So it wasn't in that age group. So,
right.
So it was a little bit different. For me, I think.
So you had peace of mind with that? There wasn't...
Did you go
through loss afterwards?
I definitely... The training that you do, that just becomes so normal. I think even still now, sometimes I think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to be able to just do training all the time, like that now, like have the time to do that. And that I think there was a sense of calmness that you used to bring me.
I imagine it was quite meditative.
Well, I think I look back now and I think, yeah, it must have been. And I think that was probably good for me.
Mm.
But, yeah, it was, yeah.
Did you go through a big time of adjustment? What do I do with my time?
Yeah.
I'm looking around.
It probably all came into the same time as when I was leaving school and going to university and I travelled for a fair while. But it did take some adjustment to kind of figure out, yeah. Right. Where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. I think a lot of probably the girls in my grade were all probably more, they knew a little bit more about what they wanted to do. So it probably took me longer to realize what I wanted to do. I ended up having a year off after school because I had no idea what I wanted to do, because I probably never spent any time thinking about it realistically when you look back at it.
And just in a quick summary, what have you done since then career-wise?
Well, again, a whole heap of different things.
And so you're back in the sport world.
Back into the sport world, which I think is kind of making me think about it again more in a different way. And I look at the kids coming through now and how different it is now as well, I think, to when I was going through. In good and bad ways too. Mm. I think a lot of pressure gets put on people too soon as well sometimes, and decision that to make choices that they shouldn't have to make. I see that a lot. Like, you've got to choose what sport you want to do. Well, why do you when you're a child? Why can't you do it all kind of?
Yeah, you don't have to jump in one and just become and professional as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Because when we met, you were an art curator,
yes.
And you also had a history of having your own children's clothes.
Yes.
Which was a very creative space, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I think that's what I learned about myself after I finished Synchro. And I guess probably there was that creative element in Synchro,
definitely
that,
very
even
expressive.
Though it was sports world, that and again, even the creative side of making up routines, you know, all of that kind of thing, curating things, it's quite similar and quite does go into it. But it is interesting when I've then ended up back into the sports world too, because I feel at home there as well.
So now you're in the rugby world?
Yes.
Australian rugby, everyone. And quite a contrast to,
very
to
much.
Synchro.
And then into arts as well.
And arts, yeah, it's just brilliant. And with rugby, you're kind of like coordinating rugby in this big regional area.
Yeah. So
is that right?
Yeah, general manager of Downs Rugby. But to me, it's like community development work, which is what I did a lot of in the arts as well.
There you go, another link.
Yeah, so that's where, you know, it's about developing something for the communities that we work with, and we work with a huge range of people.
And you light up when you say that.
Do I?
You do. So you've got this real fire in your belly for community.
Yeah, and seeing the benefits that a sport like rugby can have in our communities, especially our regional and rural communities, is crazy. And even with our women and girls developing in an area where they've never had opportunities before, like being able to provide opportunities for people is something that's pretty exciting. And even though it's in sports rather than the arts, that's kind of it's the same to me. When I realized not long into the job, I'm thinking, this is really very similar to the job that I loved doing, which was in the arts, but it was all to do with community development, realistically.
Wow. So bringing people together, having a shared focus, having a sense of team, sense of community.
Yep, building better programs for them, giving them opportunities that they haven't had before.
Mm.
Those are all kind of exciting things for me, I think.
No, I love that. I love the fire in your belly. It's great.
Yeah. I think the sport side of it growing up definitely did give me that high expectations, which can be twofold. It can be a good thing because it's a driver, but it can also, I have learnt that it's actually only me that's expecting things of myself sometimes, and that I do put that all down to
so
sport.
Then you say calm down,
yeah,
calm down.
Yeah, not
prioritize
every, yeah, I'm learning to as I get older.
Good on you. Now what do you think were the negatives for you with growing up through your childhood, literally from the age of 8 or 9, your whole childhood pretty much, with you engaging in training and performing in an elite sport?
The number one thing that I keep thinking comes is the pressure from adults.
Mm.
It wasn't the pressure from other kids, but I felt a lot of expectations on me from adults.
Yep.
But
you're not saying your parents.
Not my parents, though. That's the weird part.
You're saying more that sporting community.
World. And once I did well, there's that expectation to keep well, you know, if you did well, you should win all the time.
Yeah.
I remember because I did do well at swimming as well when we were at school, and I remember a parent coming up to me and saying, "Can't you let my daughter just win one time?"
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, like, my gosh. Serious? Sorry, like, I didn't realise this was a
And I didn't have very pushy or competitive parents, so that was something that from outside, and I'd have other kids coming to me and saying, oh, what's your time? Or what's your... My mum never kept logs of time or anything.
So you were
like
that annoying kid that won every
year. Only in my primary school.
Right.
There was probably a level of a big fish in... What is it? Small big fish in a small pond kind of that, you know. But I did do well at those things. But then, But it was... The more than anything, the adults used to put me down because of it almost.
What do you mean?
Well, they would say stuff to, like, I even remember going from primary school to to my secondary school and them saying, oh, well, just because you think you're good at things here doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good at things at the next. And that was a teacher who said that to me.
What a bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, to cut a child down like that.
Yeah. And because I was doing, is that tall poppy syndrome?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I felt a lot of that. And then if for some reason you didn't win or you didn't, there was she didn't win.
Like, and almost an enjoyment in that.
Yeah, that real tall poppy syndrome, like almost they wanted you not to.
Got like a noose around your neck. They just wanted to pull on it.
And it was my identity. My sister and I we're only 18 months apart in age, and then there's a bit of a gap between two older brothers, so it was kind of the boys and the girls. But they'd get, lots of our parents' friends or people we knew would get confused between Kylie and I, and they'd say to us, my sister has heart issues, and they'd say, are you the swimmer or are you the heart, have you got the heart issues? Are you
that's terrible.
Yeah, and she would, at the time I didn't probably notice it so much, but of course for her that's just
far. How did she cope with that?
Exactly, she didn't. Well, now we're finding it, that was difficult on her. But it was always that comparison or that you're the swimmer, so I had to be the swimmer. So I had to, you know, once you're known as something, if you did it well when you were younger, then automatically that's who you were. That's what you had to do.
I have kids that come in and they say, you know, I'm a straight A student, and people say, you are the straight A student.
Yeah.
And I have to be that because that's my identity and that's the expectation. And if I'm not continuing to do it, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
And who am I?
Yeah.
And it's just this it's paralytic pressure.
Yeah. I'm actually learning through having my children myself that things that I thought were normal were just things that I always put onto, even at school. Like, I just presumed everybody was doing well or doing at certain standards. Like, I just thought that's what you have to do.
Do you mean,
like,
academically?
Academically or with sport, that's just what you do. You do it and you do it well.
So have you found it a new world to not put those pressures on your children?
Yeah.
Or have you put those pressures on your children?
No, I think I've gone the opposite way with my... And mum says that to me about my kids. Like, I'm like, oh, if you don't want to swim, you don't need to swim. Like, she's like, you need to get them to swim because they have to learn to swim. It's safety. I said, well, as long as they're safe, I'm happy. But they're safe now. They don't need to go if they don't want to. Oh, but they should go once a week. And I'm like, they don't need to if they don't enjoy it. But if they enjoy it, they can go.
So you're not putting any of this pressure on them.
I don't want my kids to be elite at anything, to be honest.
Oh, my gosh. Now, wow. That's just fascinating. Why?
I couldn't think of anything. I just think it's a lot of pressure that they don't need, basically.
Do you feel like, this might sound, I don't mean to sound dramatic, but do you feel like it kind of hijacks the childhood a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I just want them to enjoy what they do and not feel like if they don't do well at something that's any value to them. Like,
not to have that identity.
Yeah, not to, if you're not doing really well at something, then you're not doing well at all. Like, which is, I don't know, and I think I guess it's, and it's through my coaches and everything. That's what, you know, you must do well. You must do well. Kind of came into it all the time, but yeah, and if you didn't, that meant you weren't very good at all.
Wow. So you just don't want them to have that concept of a fear of failure or to identify with their identity linked in with that, because the truth is, we have a go at things, sometimes we're good at, sometimes we're not. Have fun doesn't have any impact on who you are or the value of who you are.
No, and you'll achieve what you want to achieve, you know, and it may not, like, be to someone else's standard. Like, it doesn't have to be to someone else's standard.
No, we're not performing for them.
No. So, And I guess that's why I get frustrated with sports sometimes now, even when I look at the pressure they put on kids so young, because what for? Like, what, I don't know.
It's fascinating. So it's interesting when you reflect on your childhood, you speak with, you know, a lot of the positives and the pleasure and the enjoyment.
Mm.
But now when you look to your children, it's like, yeah, no, I wouldn't want that for them.
Mm.
It's fascinating.
It's, I do that, don't I?
That's fine. I mean.
And I don't, because I think for, in my family, I didn't feel it from my family at all, but I felt it from a lot of external influences.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my family, it was just synchro. Like, you just, like, it wasn't that important. It was just another one of the four kids, and we all did different things, and it wasn't treated as if it was anything great and grand.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really feel, it was only from outside people who would make a big deal out of it, because at home it wasn't really a big deal, I think. It was just what I did.
Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? That's just so grounded.
Mm.
And that's what you're doing with your kids.
Well, I hope so. But yeah, but maybe I don't push them enough. I don't know. They've gone the other way.
Do you find that you watch what they do with their sporting competency, like their aptitude?
So I've got Chalk and Cheese. I've got two little ones who are vice versa. Like, one's pretty awkward, and it's like, it surprises me that he doesn't have the... Yeah, and the other one is quite athletic, and you think, you can see how it... I've learned that it's not just easy. Like, I just thought everybody... It was natural for everybody to be able to do things, and now I'm realising, no, it's not. Not everybody can do sports and, find it natural, whereas I just thought that was normal.
So that's your reference point.
Yeah, and I do see that in... Like, it's easy for... Much easier for one than it is for the other, but he doesn't care either, so it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter whether you can...
So do you think there's a way of having a child being an elite sports person and them being able to find a middle ground where... they can enjoy that sport, but it doesn't have that negative impact of that fear of failure or their identity being so entwined. Do you think there's a way?
No.
Yeah.
Not to be elite, no.
Mm.
I think it's the only way to be elite is for it to be a mindset and it to be...
consume you.
Absolutely. I don't think you get to be elite if it doesn't.
Because you've got to be the best of the best.
Yeah. And whether it's something that you know you're doing or not, you're doing it. Like, you're focused on one thing and you're driven in one area. You can't be elite if you're not, I don't believe.
Mm.
'Cause, it has to be consuming. You have to want to do it too. You can't just do it half-hearted.
And, you know, I've also known a lot of the kids who have aspired to be an elite and then at some point realise they can't be.
Yeah.
And so they've spent all of these kind of, years working towards it, and that's been their life goal. This is what I'm going to be, and that's what they've spent all their time on, and then it hasn't worked through.
Yeah.
So there's also the middle ground. Hey, that's difficult.
Yeah, and I guess, I don't know. I guess it comes down to the value that you put on sport in your life, I guess, too, because I think that was some families and some people think sport is everything, whereas I guess I was lucky enough that I had a family that had a bit more perspective than that, or had a different perspective to that, I should say, that,
it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And for me, sport, I've, with our five kids, all of them have done a copious amount of sport. Mm. The level of me being the sport mum, I get a lot of stars. But it's all been about physical exercise, a sense of, working out what you enjoy, being part of a team, learning to fail, learning to kind of pick yourself up and keep going. And for me, it's all about what the person can experience and grow and receive from that.
Yeah.
And so that's how I see sport.
So many life skills that you learn.
So many life
skills. And that's exactly how my mum was too. Yeah. She was all about the life skills.
And I love her one. If you've committed to it, you're going to follow it through. Yeah. I'm a massive fan.
Each season they'd say, do you want to do this? And I would say yes. And they would say, and then when I'd, you know, every now and then if I'd had, there were, I can remember there was conflict one time and I said, no, I don't want to do it. And they were like, fine, don't do it. Pulling you out straight away. If this is making you unhappy, there's no point in you doing it. Because the stress did get, and my coach did get overbearing at one point, and they were straight away on my team
in your corner.
She doesn't want to do it. She doesn't have to do it.
They could read the difference between it's a cold morning, I don't want to get out, versus
your coach is making you get in when you're sick, and making you train anyway. And you saying
your coach has lost perspective and we're in your corner.
That they were big on that. But there's, I mean, many, many coaches who don't have any perspective. So because it's their life.
It becomes all-consuming religion.
And all about them as well too. If we're doing well, they look good as well. So yeah. I guess a lot of people probably get that from their parents, where I didn't get it from my parents, but that's what comes from the coaching. So that's the bad side of sport.
Goodness, for your parents.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, there's a summary of our podcast. Yeah, your parents, they did a great job.
Good.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Darling, I find this topic fascinating, really fascinating. I love that we've jumped in and cracked it open. I love that I can now say synchro.
Yeah.
Because I'm cool.
You know what it is.
I really appreciate your time and thank you so much for sharing. It's a fascinating topic. This is normal to you, isn't it?
Yeah,
when I said, can we come and talk about this? You're like, why? And I'm like, sweetheart, your experience is not normal.
No.
You've had a unique experience. We can talk about it. It'd be really fascinating. And it genuinely was. And I really appreciate it. And I find the level of psychology in all of this to be immense and incredibly complicated, you know.
Yep.
So thank you, everyone. Sally Johnston, darling, you're absolutely sensational, and I'm glad we got here.
Thanks.
Well done.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, everyone, if you want to catch me online, you can catch me on kirstenhunterauthor.com. We've got Facebook, Instagram, and would you believe TikTok? Kirsten Hunter Author, I know. And we've got Twitter, Kirsten Hunter AU. Thanks again, Dylan.
Thanks a lot.
See ya.